Content warning. This book contains some content that may be distressing to readers and listeners, including domestic abuse and violence.
Chapter 1. Rachel. Friday, 5th of July, 2013. The train leaves London and moves slowly and noisily along the metal track. The train journey to Ashbury is supposed to take 54 minutes, but it hardly ever does. The track is old, and there are always problems with the signal lights. I live in Ashbury, but I can't really say I'm going home to Ashbury, because it doesn't feel like my home. It's just a small room in a shared flat. Kathy and I were friends at university years ago. She's been letting me stay with her until I get back on my feet again. It was only supposed to be for a few months, but I've been making this journey for 2 years now. I'm holding a cold can of gin and tonic in my hand. As I drink it, I'm reminded of that first holiday with Tom in a Spanish fishing village in 2005. We spent our days laughing and our evenings drinking gin and tonic near the beach. But a lot has happened since then. Soon, the drink is finished, but I have 3 more cans in my bag. Fortunately, it's Friday evening, so I don't have to feel guilty about drinking on the train. The weekend has already started, hasn't it? It's going to be sunny, so I'm sure the other passengers must be looking forward to their weekend activities, day trips and parties, perhaps. I don't really have any plans myself. Monday, 8th of July, 2013. It's early morning and the weekend's over. I'm glad to be back on the train, gently moving from side to side and looking at the houses beside the track. The train always stops at a red signal light about halfway through this journey. Sometimes it's for a few seconds, and other times it's for several minutes. From where I sit on the train, I have a perfect view into my favourite trackside house, number 15. I look at this house every time I pass. I know that on warm summer evenings, the people who live there, Jason and Jess, sit out on the terrace, relaxing together. They're a perfect, happy couple. Jason is handsome, strong and kind, and has a great laugh. He's away a lot for his job. I'm pretty sure he's a doctor. Jess is blonde and has a short, fashionable haircut. She's bright and she loves art. I think she works in the music business. Or maybe she's a photographer. While the train waits at the red signal, I look for them. But today, they aren't there. I wonder if they're inside eating breakfast together. Or perhaps they have a day off and are still in bed, sleeping peacefully in each other's arms. Of course, I don't really know whether Jason has a great laugh or if he's a doctor. And I've no idea where Jess works. I don't know them. I first noticed them about a year ago. And slowly, as the months went past, they became important to me. I don't know their names either, so I've made them up. I chose names that seemed to suit them. Jason and Jess. They're a happy couple, I can see that. They're what I lost, and they're everything I want to be. As the train begins to move forward, I look down. I don't want to see the house that used to be mine. It's only 4 houses away from Jess and Jason. I lived at number 23 Blenheim Road for 5 years. To begin with, life there with Tom was wonderful. But then it all went terribly wrong. I always try not to look when the train goes past, but sometimes I do look. I'll never forget the awful pain of the day when I saw that the curtains of the small bedroom had changed from grey to baby pink. And then the day I saw Anna watering the roses with her T-shirt pulled tight over a huge round stomach. I close my eyes until I'm sure the house has passed. We soon roll into Whitney Station, where I used to get onto the train. Then we move on again. Thursday, 11th of July, 2013. I'm on the morning train and I feel terrible. Kathy was out when I got home last night, so I bought a couple of bottles of wine. I think I'd finished the first bottle before I even started cooking, but I can't remember much after that. The next thing I knew, it was dark, and Kathy was knocking on my bedroom door. I'd fallen asleep on my bed. "Are you okay, Rachel? The kitchen's a complete mess, and your dinner's still on the table. Why didn't you eat it?" After she'd gone to bed, I went down and cleaned up. I had some more wine. I think I felt lonely or sad or something, I don't know. But I called Tom. The call history on my phone says I rang him 4 times. Looking at the length of one call, I think I left a message. Or maybe he answered, I don't know. The train stops at the red signal, and I look up. Jess is sitting on her terrace, drinking coffee. I notice that she seems thoughtful and is looking down a lot. Is she sad? I'm deep in thought as the train starts to move again, and before I realise it, I'm looking at my old house. The double doors to the terrace are open, and I see a woman inside the house, and maybe a baby in a high chair. Or am I imagining it? I close my eyes and think about Anna and Tom. And then I suddenly remember the call I made last night. I was crying. I told him I still loved him and I had to talk to him. No. Did I really say that? I have to accept it. There's no point in trying to push it away. I'm going to keep remembering it and feeling awful all day. But at least it's not the worst thing I've ever done, is it? I didn't fall over in the street or shout angrily at someone at my husband's office party. I didn't try to hit my husband with a golf club during a fight. It's not as bad as walking into work drunk and Martin Miles, my manager, telling me that perhaps I should go home. 30 minutes later, my phone starts to ring. It's Tom. My stomach turns over. "Rachel, it's me." His voice is heavy and serious. "Listen, you can't keep calling me all the time." My mouth is dry and I can't speak. "Rachel, I know things aren't good for you and I'm sorry, but I can't help you and all these calls are upsetting Anna. Go and see a doctor, Rachel, please. Go and get help today." I put the phone back into my bag. We're in London, and the other passengers are getting off the train. But I just sit and stare out of the window.